Today we return to Ephesians, if you would join me there. Chapter 4, verse 17. Note the title, Live to the Truth. Ephesians 4, 17. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. But it is what's called a circular letter, which meant it was to be circulated in and among the churches. And so the Holy Spirit has retained it for us today in the Holy Scriptures. Ephesians 4:17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We will stop there for today. And of course, we pray that the Lord would bless us with this word and open our hearts and minds with understanding. And then also the ability, effort, and will and desire to apply it to us. If there is a verse in all of Scripture that portrays an attitude that pervades much of the United States today, I think it would be Ephesians 4:19. Let me read it to you once again, and you certainly can follow along. 4:19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. And you probably say, well, Pastor Tim, that's kind of harsh. Well, the problem mentioned here that I also see evident in the world around us is that the world, here referred to as Gentiles, but the world, the non-believer, is driven by its sensual desires. The word sensual here means to seek the gratification or the indulgence of the appetite or an appetite, and to be devoted or to be preoccupied with being driven by the senses. Paul saying that we are given over, or the Gentile is given over to sensuality, simply means that they have a desire to feed and satisfy and are preoccupied with the bodily senses of sight, smell, touch, hearing, and taste. And they do everything they can using the ample materials that are available to feed, no, to gorge and to indulge on those materials or to feed the senses. Now, there are many names we could label this phenomenon with, but there's one today that can be used that I refer to here as materialism. Materialism. Dr. Douglas Kelly, the systematic professor down at RTS Charlotte, said a couple of years ago in an article that he wrote that the one sin that entangles, and in his words, killing the people of the United States is this sin of materialism. In the United States, the pursuit of the American dream has become very costly in that it is burdened with a desire to materially possess and to have material possessions. The requirement to keep up with the Joneses is becoming more and more costly and more burdensome. And we Americans, we are made to feel that we must absolutely have all of the latest things just to be accepted, just to be a part. We Americans believe that we should always be comfortable and that we must always be entertained. This sometimes unspoken desire is a desire to be coddled, to be catered to, and to be distracted, no matter what the cost. It is the pursuit to satisfy the external sensual desires that we are guilty of. Or as Paul would say, we are given over to sensuality so as to indulge in everything. I told the group this morning this is the kind of sermon where I wish I had a mirror there in the aisle so that I could see myself. Because please understand, this sermon is for all of us. We are given over to sensuality so as to indulge in everything. We can relax in the family room, and we can choose from literally hundreds of movies and programs, and we complain about the ones we can get. And then we watch those programs on a screen that is as large as the wall itself. This, along with video games, cell phones, multiple cars, luxury homes, more and more land, the latest clothing styles, all of these things have seemed to become necessities rather than the luxuries of life. I have to have, I must have. And we expend hours, days, years of our lives obtaining these things so that we can feel like we have arrived, or that we feel like we are a part. John Calvin comments on this. If you read this month's ARP magazine, Olin has a copy if you want one. John Calvin writes on this subject, and he says, if we have an overabundance with which to gorge ourselves, we must not take a bite beyond what is our usual need, and we must not consume more than is permitted. It is the obvious ethical question of the day. Just because we can does not mean we should. In that same article in our ARP magazine, Dr. Rob Roy McGregor, a pastor in our denomination, comments that Calvin would probably recommend today to the United States that a healthy dose of preaching on the seven deadly sins would be most appropriate. And that we should analyze them so that we could see ourselves and repent and flee from all of Satan's enticements. Because in the concession to our desires, in the giving in to our sensual desires, this is what destroys us. This is what destroys us. More, more, more. We have got to have more. Paul says in verse 19, once again, having lost all sensitivity, we have given ourselves over to sensuality so as to indulge. Where does this start? How does this come about? Look closely at the text of which Paul is writing and note the origin of this indulgence. Let me read to you once again verses 17 and 18 and notice the origin of this sin. 17 and 18. Paul says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. The problem is an intellectual issue. The problem at hand is an intellectual issue. Paul says the root of this issue is the way people think. It is the way people think. He says, do not live as the Gentiles do in the futility, in the pointlessness, in the senseless way of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, so therefore they are separated from God. Simply put, their minds are empty. We Americans pride ourselves on what we know and the data available to us at the mashing of a button or the flipping of a switch. But is it real data? Is it information? Is it necessary? We must ask. Here it is referred to as their minds being empty, and their minds are empty because they've turned their backs. They've hardened their lives. They've hardened themselves toward the things of God. Now, here Paul is referring to the Gentiles. He's referring to the non-believer. But as we did this morning in the 9:15 time, I want to do here again as well. I must ask the question, is it the non-believer alone who pursues such things? Is it the non-believer alone who is indulging the sensual nature? Are we Christians guilty as well of pursuing earthly desires while trying to convince ourselves that we can live on both sides or in both worlds? How often do we Christianize our otherwise secular lifestyle? How much do we try to play the world's games and then add a little Christian sentiment to it and think it's okay? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Sometimes I think we Christians try to love both. Have we given ourselves over to be driven by the desire to feed and fulfill our senses, our lusts? Do not live that way is Paul's message. Materialism, living with our sensual desires foremost in our minds, that cannot be a characteristic of a Christian. We who are believers are not to indulge ourselves. The Bible on many accounts teaches temperance, teaches not to indulge. Many people ask me, does the Bible say anything about drinking? Yeah, it's got a lot to say about drinking, but it never says not. It never says do not. But it always speaks about overindulging. And I must say, it says the same things about food. How many of you think overeating is a sin? You think overdrinking is a sin? Why not overeating? Overindulging. The scriptures teach temperance. Why? Why are we not to be like the world? I mean, we are the church in the world. Jesus has left us here to proclaim his name to the world. Why are we not to be like the world? Look with me at verse 20. Paul says, you. Now, who is he talking with? Who is he talking to? You, the church. You. You, however, did not come to know Christ this way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Paul says, you did not come to know Christ that way. Again, please note the intellectual aspect of Paul's words. He says, you did not come to know Christ in that way because you were not taught, or you were taught in Him, or you were taught in Him. All of this begins with the way we think and what we think of. The Christian should be taught different than those of the world. Why is it so important that what we preach and what we teach is from Scripture? Why is what you teach in your home so important? Because you and I, you in your home, we in this church are building foundations. And when your children leave the home and go to college, go into the military, go into the job force, whatever, wherever they may find themselves, they're going to reference, at least initially, the things you've taught them, the things I've taught them, the things they've been taught in Sunday school, the things they've been taught in Bible school. And there's too many professors out there. There's too many CEOs out there who are demanding that your children, even us adults, violate our conscience. Violate what we've been taught. In the business world today, it's almost a norm that you break the rules because that's the only way you can get ahead. I'm so proud of the men in this church who own companies who have said, we will not. And their business probably suffers. But what we teach, what you teach in your home is so important. Children, all of you children listening, living at home, listen. Listen to your parents. I can remember thinking as a young man, my daddy was the most ignorant man I ever met in my life. And it wasn't until I was about 35 that I realized he was pretty doggone smart. But you know me, hard-headed, I know better. But no. Listen to the parents. And I would say listen to the preacher, but I'll let your parents enforce that. Why? Because it forms our foundation. It forms the truth of which we live our lives on. If I stand here every Sunday and teach you error and teach you falsities, then you will begin from a false base. And you can't. We can't. What we are teaching our children is key. And I pray we are being taught the truths of Christ and being taught the ways of Christ. Paul tells us specifically that we must do this. Now, there is a do beyond the teaching. It's not enough for me to stand here and teach you these things. It's not enough for mom and dad here to stand in front of you and teach these things. There is a do that follows. Paul gives us that do in verse 22. Listen. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God and through righteousness and holiness. What Paul is saying here is very similar to what you did this morning when you got ready to come to church. At some point in time this morning, you got up and you took off your sleep clothing and you put on church clothing. All right, I hope you did. Never mind, I ain't going there. But you put on new attire. You put on something different. Thank you for not coming to church the way you were dressed for sleep. Now, if that's all you got, you're welcome. I'll give you my robe. But you put on something new. You put on something different because you are different. The world would have you put on worldly clothes. The world would have you put on things that look nice to the world. But the world only wants you to look that way so that you are susceptible to their teaching. Paul says, put off that former way. Put off those former clothes and put on the clothes, put on the new self, which is what your parents have been teaching you, what I try to teach you, what the Scriptures teach us, which are the ways of Jesus Christ. When you see me out in the world, I should look different. Now, different according to Scripture, not different according to your paradigm. But you should recognize a Christian out in the workplace. You should recognize a Christian out in school because they are putting on the new. Putting on the new. The Christian in Ephesus was taught by Paul, Timothy following. And we have been taught that becoming a new creation in Christ is a radical change. It means there should be a drastic difference. We are not what we once were. Becoming a new creation involves putting away the old things of the former lives and putting away the old thoughts. And we are to look a new way. And we are to look in a new direction. We are to follow a new teaching. Paul writes to the Corinthian church that, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We could paraphrase this, change the wording. When I was a non-believer, I thought like a non-believer, I acted like a non-believer, I acted like a Gentile. But now that I am a believer, I put those non-believer ways away. As a Christian, we are to be made new in the attitude of our minds. This is an intellectual ascent that we are after. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1, very familiar passage. Many of you know it. Paul writing to the church in Rome. 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2 is the key. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. Now, Jesus Christ and a relationship with Jesus Christ is a heartfelt, emotional issue. It is a heart issue. But it begins in the mind. The mind is redeemed. The heart is redeemed. We come to know Christ. And we are redeemed and made new creatures. And so Paul here is saying, be transformed. Okay, so how do we do that practically? How do we do that day to day? How do we do that day to day? Well, it begins with worship. It begins right here. It begins with your worship of Jesus Christ. It begins with your worship of Jesus Christ every day of your life. It is followed by preaching. Right now, there is a supernatural, mystical thing going on in this church. The Holy Spirit is empowering this word preached to change and empower you to be different than what you were. I don't know how it does it. That's what he says he does. But there are other things. Prayer. Fellowship. This week, the team in Harlan, Kentucky, had some very close, intimate times together. And they were changed. Fellowship changes us. It affects us. Sacraments. Last week, we celebrated the Lord's Supper here. That sacrament is the visual work of Christ presented to you. Bible studies. I am so thankful so many of you are in Bible studies and being affected and changed. That's how we put on the new self. As a child of the King, you have the obligation to expend your greatest energy to learn of Him and do everything you can to improve that intimate relationship with Him. Every ounce of energy you have should be afforded to that. And we, the leadership of this church, every elder in this church, every deacon in this church, every Sunday school teacher in this church, has the responsibility to provide for you the right teaching, the right materials and resources so that we can be taught well. I'm thankful we do that. We have been made into new creations, new people, by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, our hearts have been redeemed and we are now new beings. And this work by the Holy Spirit is a done deal. It's finished. As we said last week, we are sealed by the completed work of Jesus Christ. But our work is not finished. Our part of this is not finished. Our sanctification yet is not complete. We're not ready for that reunion. We're not ready for that wonderful dinner the Lord Jesus has planned for us. We're not ready for Him to come back yet. Our sanctification, our likeness to Christ is not achieved. We have work to do. But the society around us does not support this Christian desire. If anything, it works counter to it every minute. But we who call ourselves Christians, we are to turn away from those worldly things. And we are to turn to the things of Christ. We are to take off the old worldly clothing and put on the new garments of Christ. But that takes energy, that takes physical work on every one of our parts. Verse 24 of Ephesians 4. It says that we are to put on the new self, that we are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And my question to you is, are you? Are you reflecting that holiness? Are you reflecting that righteousness? Have you put on those new garments? Or are you continuing to feed the sensual desires? We must turn away. We must turn away from the sensual desires the world offers up on a platter every day. And turn away from those. And turn toward our Lord Jesus and put on His new clothes. I pray that He is our vision. I pray that He is our ambition. I pray that you can see in your own life a physical difference that reflects that you have indeed put on the new clothes, put on the new self that is in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is calling for the church in Ephesus to do. He's calling for us as well.